Hey, St. John. Welcome to the Post-Sermon Podcast. I am Deaconess Dahlia, and with me today is Vicar Tim.
Hello.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing well. So today we are discussing your sermon from this past Sunday. Tell me a little bit about the text that you preached on.
Yeah, so the text, it's a pretty familiar one. It's the story of Jesus appearing to his disciples after the resurrection, and of course, Thomas is not there when Jesus first appears to them, and so Thomas doubts until he actually sees the risen Christ for himself.
And this is the gospel text for the second Sunday of Easter, correct?
Yes.
Very good. What was the central teaching of your sermon?
So the central teaching of my sermon is that we are given on the Spirit, we're given forgiveness in Christ, and this comes to us as part of the fact that we're confessing Christ, that we confess that Jesus is our Lord, that he is our God, and that because we confess that, like, that means things. That means that we're sent by God. It means that we have received the Spirit, and it means that we forgive one another and that we are forgiven.
Yeah, I noticed that you really focused on Thomas's confession, that he said, "My Lord and my God."
Yes.
What do you think is the significance of Thomas saying that after he touched Jesus' wounds?
Yeah, I mean, it's Thomas is confessing that he believes that Jesus is his Lord, that Jesus is God. He's no longer doubting, but believing. And you know, Thomas always gets a bit of a bad rap for not believing at first, but he does provide this very significant confession of who Jesus is, and really it's language that we still use today when we confess who Jesus is. In the creed we confess, "I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ." We prayed in our collect that we would confess that Jesus is Lord and God. This is a confession that we ourselves make even to this day.
So this confession of Thomas, these are also words that we too say in different places.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tell me about how you started out your sermon. I thought it was really interesting. You were talking about this group of cloaked people, and they were all arriving at some destination, and they were, I guess, confessing Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. That was kind of an interesting way to lead us into the gospel.
Yeah, the image I was kind of trying to draw was like, years after Jesus' resurrection, and now Thomas is like preaching to a group of Christians that, you know, they have to hide in a locked room because, you know, the authorities are out to get them. They're being persecuted, and, you know, I thought that was a good way to kind of lead into, I was like, you know, how would Thomas talk about this years later? And leading up to his confession, and that it's a confession that they're making there in this, you know, this, I guess, almost in this little church that I thought of here, and how it leads to the confession that we still make today.
Yeah, no, I like that, because then you go from how, you know, 2,000 years later that this confession still holds true, that we confess this as well, like we were talking about earlier. And then you posed a question, which I think is a really good one. You said, what does it mean when we confess that Jesus is our Lord and our God? So how did you go about answering that question?
Yeah, so that's a big question.
It's a big question.
There are a lot of different answers. And so I kind of focused on some of the words that Jesus said to his disciples and how that informs what it means that we confess Christ. And of course, this is only just a part of what it means to confess Christ, but it means that we have been sent, that Jesus sends his disciples out just as the Father sent Jesus into the world, and we're called to bear witness to Jesus in whatever way that means. In some places, you know, you can go and preach boldly out on the streets and boldly proclaim Christ, and in other places, Christians are forced to hide. But even then, in their suffering, you know, and in their trials, that's still bearing witness to Christ. So the idea is that we are sent. Jesus sends his disciples, and he sends us as well.
Yeah, so thinking about, like, many of the church members here, like, in our situation at St. John, they've been sent to different vocations, right?
Yes.
So vocations being different, like, callings by God. So these are kind of, like, things in relationship to others. So I don't know. I guess if someone who's working a 9-to-5 job, like, who maybe isn't a missionary, like you had mentioned Thomas probably had gone to India and got to preach the good news of Jesus. So how maybe someone in a different context, and they maybe don't know what that means to be sent with, the, you know, in their vocations.
Yeah.
How would you respond to them?
Yeah. I mean, it can just be as simple as, you know, living as a Christian. Showing kindness to everybody, treating people as they want to be treated, and even just making it plain that you are a Christian, not like hiding it away. It doesn't mean you have to be like overbearing as a Christian, because that often doesn't always work, but just being willing to talk about Jesus, talk about who he is, what he did for people, building relationships with others, and that can allow for fruitful conversations. And there's no, like, you know, one size fits all. This is the only way to do it. It really can be just be contextual, and a lot of it just starts with building relationships, getting to know people, and kind of building those relationships allow you to have fruitful conversations.
Yeah, I like what you said about just being faithful in whatever tasks that God's given you to do, and I think people definitely notice those things. And you know, you're not just doing that so that I can share the good news, which of course you want to, but you're doing it because you love the people around you, and this is just what God's given you to do, and in and of that is God's going to use that, right? And we can pray that there's going to be fruit that comes from living that way.
And then, you know, confessing Christ, it also means that we've received the Spirit. And I kind of laid that out in a couple ways that, I mean, we received the Spirit in creation. You know, God breathed life into Adam, breathed his Spirit into him. And we kind of get that image of breathing life again in the Old Testament reading in Ezekiel, where Ezekiel prophesies he breathes life into these dry bones. God sends his Spirit upon them, and they have life. So I kind of brought the image of that as creation, God breathing life into people, but also that the new creation, God breathes his Spirit into us in baptism, bringing us into faith, bringing us out of, you know, a locked room of unbelief, if you will. And that's how we're able to make this confession, is because the Spirit has worked faith in us.
And I mean, that really was the only way that Thomas, the disciples, and any future disciples would be able to make that same confession is through that Spirit that was given to them.
Yeah, for sure.
What was your third point about when we confess that Jesus is our Lord and God?
Yeah, the final one is that we forgive people. I mean, Jesus tells the disciples, if you forgive anyone, their sins are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness, forgiveness is withheld. And I brought out, this is one of the hardest parts of confessing Christ, is that we're called to forgive other people. That's why I told my own story about really struggling to forgive somebody who had sinned against me. It was hard. It was painful. And we all experience this at times, where we have somebody we're struggling to forgive, or even on the flip side, where we're the person who isn't necessarily receiving forgiveness. And part of confessing Christ is that we forgive other people. We proclaim that forgiveness that Christ has first given us. The only reason we can forgive people is because Jesus forgave our sins. We're all poor, miserable sinners, and yet Christ forgave us. And because of that, we can forgive other people, and we can proclaim, you know, the gospel of forgiveness to others.
I really like when you said in your sermon that when you sin against someone and you've asked them forgiveness, but they refuse to forgive you, and you feel locked out of forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
So I just love that, like thinking about how the disciples were in a locked room and then kind of use that same imagery for forgiveness. That was really good, and it can feel that way. But I like what you said is, like, in those moments to go back to the one who is first forgiven, right?
Yeah.
You had said at the end, like, we take refuge in the fact that Jesus forgave us, that he unlocks that door and brings us to that forgiveness for our sins.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tell me about the placement of this sermon within the church year.
Yeah, so this is the second Sunday of Easter. So obviously we just had the resurrection, and now a week later we're seeing some of what happens right after Jesus rises from the dead. This reading from John 20, it's the appointed reading for Easter too in every single lectionary, I believe. Even in the 3 year, I believe it's this reading is done every single year because it's such an important reading, because now Jesus is raised from the dead. Now what? Now what do we say? Do we believe or not? That's kind of one of the things that comes up, that Jesus has been raised, and now do we believe?
Yeah, and I know in your sermon you focus more on Thomas's confession, "My Lord and my God." But I love how this reading really begins to tie in, like, the rest of the church. Do you want to read the last verse about what Jesus says to Thomas?
Yeah, he says, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed."
So that's really cool, just to think that this reading, you know, of course, is bringing in the other disciples, but this includes, like, us as well. So, yeah, so now Jesus has risen from the dead. So what does that mean? What is he doing? And now it's just including everyone, including us, who, you know, we are the ones who haven't been able to see Jesus with our eyes, but to see how, with this Holy Spirit, that we too can believe and make that same confession that Thomas made.
Yeah, and those words of Jesus, I mean, it prompts John to break into his narrative with this little aside where he says, "Now Jesus did many other things in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name."
Yes, I think that's just such a good passage. And I don't know off the top of my head what next Sunday,
it's Good Shepherd Sunday.
Good Shepherd Sunday, that's right. Okay. But yeah, so that is really interesting. So not just 1 year, but 3 year lectionary. It's not just many Christians, not just Lutherans, use these lectionaries throughout the world. So kind of cool to think that we all had the same reading that we were, or many of us had the same reading that we were reflecting and meditating on.
Yeah.
Are there any other questions you want me to ask you that I didn't ask? Well, this wraps up the episode for today. Thank you for listening to our discussion. In case you missed the sermon or you'd like to listen to it again, the link to the sermon is in the show notes. You can also find the sermon on our church website, stjohndublin.org. If you, the listener, would like to submit a question about a sermon, please email us at podcast@stjohndublin.org. Thank you, Vicar, for joining me and for feeding us the word this week.
My pleasure.
All right, take care, you guys. Bye.
Bye.